the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones.
What do we need most this year? You could be a success socially. You could be a success in your leadership this year. You could be a success in all of those areas, which would be great. But if your heart is not inclined to the Lord, it's really empty. None of that will count for eternity. None of that will last on the day that we as believers stand before Him and give account for all we have done in the flesh, for what was done and how we did it and what were the motivations behind it. If we're not inclined to the Lord, if our hearts are not leaning to Him, if we're not walking with Him and serving for His sake, then all of those accomplishments will mean nothing. They will be burned away as preachers stand up, as they open the Word of God, as God is putting before you a spiritual feast. Are you doing your part to incline your heart and your ear to hear? Draw nigh to God. And as we do, we have the assurance that He will take the next step and He will draw nigh to us.
Are you doing spiritual battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil? Today, Dr. Stephen Jones reminds us that it's the Christian's responsibility to ask God to enable him to turn from sin and incline his heart to Jesus Christ. Dr. Jones takes his text from 1 Kings 8:57 and 58. Before that message, the Sound Forth singers encourage us with a prayer that our spiritual eyes might be opened to the truths of God's Word.
As I read Your holy Word, help me see, Lord, help me learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. Come and melt my stubborn will. Make my heart and soul be still. As I read Your Word, may I heed it and obey. Like the first rays of morning light, it will pierce my darkest night, showing sins of doubt and fear within my heart, showing self-confidence and pride, the rebel thoughts that plague my mind. Then it brings cleansing hope that quiets my heart. Open my eyes and let me see glimpses of truth You have for me. For in Your Word I find the truth that sets me free.
Now here is Dr. Stephen Jones, president of Bob Jones University, with today's message.
Just want to say thank you all for the very friendly spirit on campus. Ever since the day y'all arrived, and y'all, for those of you who are from elsewhere, means you guys or you-uns or whatever, but get used to it because it's a great word and you are in South Carolina. So I'll try to adapt some and vary it, but then other times you adapt and just understand. If I say y'all, it means you. All right? Y'all have been very friendly around the campus. I've been noticing it. Others have been saying how friendly everybody is. You're looking up, you're greeting people as you go by, which is fantastic. It's a great spirit. Dad just came across campus too, and we met back here, and he said, boy, everybody's so friendly. It's exciting, and it is exciting. So thank you for that, and let's keep going with it. Even as the pressures begin to mount and the burdens on your shoulders get greater, please keep that attitude that when you're out and around, those are opportunities to minister to the people around you, the unsaved who may be on campus, as well as the brothers and sisters in Christ who are all around you on the campus. Please have your mind off yourself, on others, and be greeting others, be friendly. Also, wonderful singing. Somebody commented the other evening on how excellent the singing was. It is wonderful to get back into a group like this and to sing wholeheartedly. But watching some of you as you sing, the joy is on your face as well. And that makes it even a greater blessing to know, because it's coming out of your heart and it's being reflected on your face. So thank you very much, because that's a great encouragement. And here's just a tip for you from communication. Let me ask you a rhetorical question. That means one that you answer in your head rather than verbally. A rhetorical question for you. Can you ever consciously make the choice not to communicate? Can you ever make the choice not to communicate? I ran this by the information desk workers the other day and said, you know, all of the time you're communicating something. And even if you're saying, I'm not going to communicate, so there's just going to be no physical movement, no facial expression, you're communicating. Because we all read the facial expression. We all read what your eyebrows are doing, what your cheeks are doing. Are you smiling? Are you frowning? Are you impassive? What's your body language doing? You're communicating all of the time. So even as you stand there singing, let it be as to the Lord. And if it is, it needs to show on your face as you think about the words and the praise that you're singing. Communicate, because you are communicating. Either I'm just on autopilot, if that's what is going on, or I am fully engaged and worshiping as I sing. Now this morning, turn please to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, I hope you have something to write with and to write on as well, because I'm going to give you some references that would be to your profit to write down and to look over later. I'll read them for you, but we won't take time to turn to all of them. Back to 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 57 and 58. We'll start there. The thought is, what do we need most this year? You could be a success academically this year. You could be a success socially. You could be a success in your leadership this year. You could be a success in all of those areas, which would be great. But if your heart is not inclined to the Lord, it's really empty. None of that will count for eternity. None of that will last on the day that we as believers stand before Him and give account for all we have done in the flesh, for what was done and how we did it and what were the motivations behind it. If we're not inclined to the Lord, if our hearts are not leaning to Him, if we're not walking with Him and serving for His sake, then all of those accomplishments will mean nothing. They will be burned away as wood, hay, and stubble. And however much blood, sweat, and tears you give to it this year, if those things are burned away, it would be a waste. What do we need more than those things? And those things are great. But make sure that the primary thing is your heart relationship and orientation to the Lord. Solomon here is admonishing the people of Israel, the Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. Let Him not leave us nor forsake us, that He may incline our hearts unto Him to walk in all His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, which He commanded our fathers. This is a request to God. It's a request that the Lord incline our hearts, that He bend our hearts to Him. And why do we need that request? We need that because that's not the original bent of our hearts. That's not the natural direction of our hearts. That's certainly not the natural direction of the majority of people who pass by on Wade Hampton Boulevard every day, who are unsaved. That's not the direction of any unsaved on this planet. They don't naturally seek after God, we're told in Romans chapter 3:11. They don't naturally seek after God. Their heart is not inclined, bent toward God. God has to take the first step. God has to give them, to draw them to Himself. And even after salvation, our feet so often turn back away from God. We're at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the flesh is always with us, and it is eager to pull us back in the direction it wants to go, to pull us back in the bent that it was used to going. and would prefer in its own mind, the mind of the flesh, to go, as Ephesians 2 says. It wants to pull us back. And so naturally, we are not inclined to God. That's why we must make this request. Lord, incline us to you. And that's our prayer. Lord, please be doing that this year. We need your work in our midst every time we gather. We need your work in our midst in prayer groups. We need your work in our midst in societies. We need your work to be bending our hearts and drawing us to you. Lord, we beg of you. Please incline our hearts to you this year. We need his work in that direction. It's still necessary that he incline our hearts. Psalm 119:36 says, "Incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to covetousness." To desire his word, to be inclined to his word, to study it, to love it, to know it, to follow it. We need him to incline our hearts to that, to draw us out in the direction of Scripture, because again, it's not natural. But yet, it is our need. So it's first here expressed as a request to God to incline our hearts unto him. But at the same time, while we're requesting this of God, you and I have a responsibility as well. It's our request of him, but it is our responsibility. We can't just sit around and say, "Okay, God, turn my heart to you. Okay, Lord, turn my heart to you. Lord, turn my heart to you." We have to take the next step. We have the responsibility then to follow and to incline our hearts. The same Hebrew word is used a number of places, that it is our responsibility to incline our hearts to him. Did you realize that? Not enough just to pray, "Lord, do it for me." You are supposed to be doing it toward him every day, and so am I. It's our responsibility. Now, let me make it clear here before I go into the references in the Old Testament where this Hebrew word appears elsewhere. If we're doing this, it will not be in our own power. We can't do it in our own power. We can't want enough to please God that we can do it in our human strength. We can't somehow, by our own determination and grit, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps spiritually to achieve something for God. We can't. Philippians 2:13 makes it clear, "For it is God who worketh in us, both to will, to desire it." It's God who has to make us desire to do this, to incline our hearts in his direction, and to do of his good pleasure. It is God's work, both to cause us to desire it and to do it. So we need him to be at work in us, to incline ourselves. But when he puts that desire there, if he has convicted you and said, "Child of mine, there's something there that isn't right. There's something there that isn't responding to my word. I want you in right relationship with me. I'm pointing it out." That is his doing. And when he does that, it is then your responsibility to follow, to respond to him. This is the amazing thing about the Christian life. A professor in the seminary once, just in a passing comment, said something that stuck with me. He said, "It's an amazing thing that we're supposed to do things. We're supposed to live a certain way to please God, to be in right relationship with him. We're supposed to do that, but at the same time, we can't do that without his strength. So God has to give us the grace to desire it and to do it. And as he gives us the grace, then we do it." And the amazing thing is that one day when we stand before God, for everything that we have done that was pleasing to him with the right motivation, out of a heart of love to do that for him, for all of those things that have been right and acceptable in his eyes, we'll get a reward. But when you think about it, it was all his doing in making us will it. It was all his doing in giving us the grace and the strength to follow, to do it. So while we are to be doing, we can't do it without God. And he will give the grace to enable us to do it. And we have to try and we have to take his grace and his strength to do it. And then he rewards it, even though he was the one who empowered it. So it is our responsibility, but it must come from God if we're to be effective in desiring and doing his good pleasure. But we must incline our hearts. Turn, please, to Isaiah 55. I want you to look at this one with me. Isaiah 55. We'll look at the first three verses where this Hebrew word appears again. And again, we're looking at our responsibility. It's not enough to say, "Lord, you do this to me or for me." We must also be inclining our heart to him. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye to buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The first word of verse 3, incline your ear, incline. God is saying, I have better than you can imagine. I have better in store than you can attain. I have better plans for you than you can imagine or purchase or contrive or manipulate. I have what you need, and I have better than eye has seen or ear has heard. I have such riches in store for you. So why, child of mine, why are you running after things that you think are good? Why are you searching after your desires, trying to achieve your goals, when I have better dreams than you have dreamed for yourself? I have all of that for you. But he says, what should our response be? We must incline our ear. We must incline our ear. We must bend ourselves. We must draw ourselves out to him in response as he speaks, to listen. That's our responsibility. We can't just keep sitting there saying, Lord, do this, Lord, do this, Lord, hit me. We must also be inclining our ear. That's our responsibility from the very mouth of Jehovah God. In Isaiah chapter 55, in Psalm 119, verse 112, David says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. David says, I've inclined my heart, Lord, to always perform what you desire, for always doing what you have told me to do in your word. David committed to that. David was saying, here's my direction, Lord. I bend myself to you and to your statutes. I incline myself to you. And so it is our responsibility to do. Joshua 24:23. Joshua is preaching to the children of Israel, and he says to them, now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Twofold step there. Because many have been searching after those things that can't satisfy and have been making gods of your own wishes or dreams or possessions or popularity or other things. Those have become gods to you. But they must be put aside first. And then you incline your heart to him. To incline your hearts to the Lord God of Israel. And the amazing thing here is that Joshua is preaching this message to the children of Israel 70 years after they had left the land of Egypt. But it's clear earlier in the passage, Joshua 24, when he says, put away from you the gods from the other side of the river. Put away the gods that you brought in from the old life. You brought with you through those 40 years of desert wandering. Those gods of Egypt, leave them. They haven't ever done anything for you. And some of you are still having gods from your old life, still things that you're serving, slave to, choosing to go to again and again. And what's your responsibility? To put those things away. They have no part in the life of a believer. And to incline your heart unto God, to look to him and to love him. Proverbs 2:2 says, incline thine ear to wisdom and imply thy heart unto understanding. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Every time the word of God is opened, you know what you're supposed to be doing? Not daydreaming, but inclining your ear, because God is talking at that point. And you and I at that point have the responsibility before God to incline our ear, to discipline ourselves, to hear his voice. Because if the preacher is preaching from the word, no matter if you like the style or you don't like the style, if the word is going forth, God is talking. And his children are supposed to be inclining their ear to hear. Jeremiah 25, verse 4 says this, and the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. Saying that God had sent a feast to Israel, a spiritual feast he had put before them, saying, here's all you need for life and godliness. Here's all you need for true joy in this world. And he was doing that through the prophets who came and preached the word of God and said, "Thus saith the Lord." All the time, it was right there in front of Israel. But what were they doing? They were ignoring. They were distracted. They were seeking after other things, other gods. They were not inclining their hearts. Are you? I remember one service during Bible conference when I was in high school. My heart was not inclined to the Lord. My heart was going back to the things of the world. And for a number of months, I was pursuing things that I shouldn't have been and getting into things that I shouldn't have been. And it was overlapping in the spring semester. And during Bible conference, we all had to be here. And at that point, I wasn't real excited about being here. But we would always come as early as we could to the service, not because we wanted to be in the front row, though there are some great folks who do that. That's wonderful. But that wasn't my heart at the time. My heart was to get there so that we could run upstairs before the ushers closed the balcony and sit right in front of the usher stations up there. Because we knew that nobody from behind us could see us. Basically, just the people from the platform were, so we could talk or pass notes or look up funny passages of scripture and goof off as the word was going forth. And the whole week was like that. Until one day toward the end of the week, there was a man preaching that the Lord has always used in my heart. In an unusual way, he's always been able to address the needs of my soul with the word. The Lord has always just led him and gifted him to preach in a way that it gets my heart. And he was preaching, but I was sitting right up there, ignoring the Lord, paying more attention to my friends and what they thought than what God thought. And in the middle of this service, the Holy Spirit just hit me upside the head. Because it was clear to me at that point, this is somebody that the Lord has always used. And that is the moment that the Lord broke through and he said, "Stephen, where's your heart? Where are you in relation to me? You were pursuing all of these things because you thought they were making you happy. But here you are 4 months later. And are you happy?" I was miserable. He said, "Where's your heart, Stephen? Are you listening?" As preachers stand up, as they open the Word of God, as God is putting before you a spiritual feast, are you doing your part to incline your heart and your ear to hear? Because God has said, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. As He works in you, as He brings conviction to bear in your heart, the conviction isn't pleasant, is it? When all of a sudden you're aware that there's something in your heart that's ugly before God, and then they get to the invitation and your heart starts racing because you know the Lord has spoken to you and you know you need to deal with it, but you're not willing to raise your hand or you don't want to take the step out into the aisle. But you know what that conviction was? That was God saying, "I'm going to incline your heart to me. I'm going to speak to you. I'm telling you, I am wooing you back." And at that point, you have the responsibility, I have the responsibility to respond, to draw nigh to God. And as we do, we have the assurance that He will take the next step and He will draw nigh to us. So inclining our hearts, it's a request. We need God to take the first step. Now, are you praying, "Lord, this year, draw me closer to You"? When we close in just a minute in prayer, I'm going to pray that. I'm going to ask you to pray that in your heart and your mind. "Lord, incline my heart to You this year." And Father, as you do that, as you take that first step and draw me with Your help, by Your grace, I will respond and I will incline my heart back to You. Because, Lord, I need You. I need You more than anything this semester, more than the academics, more than the grades, more than the friends. I need You, Lord. So, Father, incline my heart. And when You do, I will follow my responsibility and incline my ear and my heart back to You. Heavenly Father, we do need Your work in our hearts. Our hearts are naturally bent towards sin. Our flesh is ever with us. The world and Satan are constantly barraging us with temptation, and our hearts would go there so quickly. In fact, for many here, Lord, their heart is there. They've failed. They're walking in failure and discouragement and at a distance from You. They were pursuing things that they thought would give them joy, and they have left them miserable and empty and unsatisfied. Father, now at this moment we ask that you would incline our hearts to you, that you would draw us, that you would speak through your word and the servants that you will bring to draw us. And as you draw us, Lord, we commit to follow, to incline ourselves back to you, our God, the only one who can satisfy, the one who knows us intimately and has only the best desires for us. We will respond as you incline us to you, Lord. Now do this work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
May it be our daily prayer to God that He may help us incline our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Bible message by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones, was delivered recently on the Bob Jones University campus. If you enjoyed today's message, you'll be equally blessed by other powerful teaching tapes and CDs available from Bob Jones University. To receive a free catalog containing hundreds of sermons by Dr. Jones and many other visiting fundamentalist leaders, call us toll-free at 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Again, that's 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Or visit our website at bjuradio.com. And while you're there, the BJU Radio website has information about other helpful resources for you and your family. Or you can write us at BJ Radio, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. We trust today's message has been both challenging and an encouragement to your spiritual walk with the Lord. If so, we invite you to join us again next week when we'll return with another recent message by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones, on Chapel Echoes. This program is an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University.